Hey, it's Ben and Kelly. Today on the podcast, what happens when you see a hot, nerdy guy who's just trying to help you find your smut?
Yeah, you're reaching for a sassy romance novel. It's a little embarrassing, but it's hashtag missed connection.
And then how do you know when you're exclusive with your partner?
Well, when he announces he's got a date with someone else, that's a clue.
We do some rapid fire social awkward situation therapy.
Vending machine advice.
Yeah, setting the bar stories, the ugly calculator, and so much more.
Enjoy the podcast, friends.
Ben and Kelly.
This time tomorrow, we are going to be launching into our 16th annual Radiothon for Norton Children's Hospital, live from the lobby of the Norton Children's Hospital downtown. So I know that you might feel some sort of way when you hear that, the words Radiothon, you know?
But it might make you think it's too sad, I can't listen. Not true.
Yeah, so we're going to be sharing a bunch of really stories of inspiration, of how these kids and families have overcome. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be different than maybe what you're thinking. So that all kicks off tomorrow. 12 hours tomorrow. 12 hours Friday, and then we're going to be done for a year, all right?
Exactly.
So just want to kind of warn you ahead of time that's going to go down, but then also we're going to be talking about how you can keep a hospital like that here operational and functioning and here in Louisville. So yeah, that's all brought to you in part by Bill Collins Ford and a bunch of other sponsors. But yeah, we've got a lot of cool things lined up, you know, including like gifting a bunch of kids some teddy bears there that are at the hospital. So that'll be fun. And a ton more things.
Yeah, we've got 2 days to check off a long list of things that goals they need achieved, things that they need purchased. All of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we can't do it without you guys.
Yeah. So that kicks off, this time tomorrow here on 99.7 DJX. Hard to believe that it's already Radiothon time, but here we are. And then, you know, Saturday, it is the St. Patrick's Day parade. And then, you know, next week it's Project Prom. And then we get into Kentucky Derby Festival stuff. And it's just like, goes, goes, goes.
I mean, stop talking. I'm getting a little, I'm overwhelmed.
It is going to be quite the spring here on 99.7 DJX. All right. So we're going to get to some stuff here this morning, including this hour. I just have two questions for you that I want to get into here in about 20 minutes.
Just two questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Innocent enough.
Just a couple questions involving peanuts and involving hairbrushes, okay?
So, okay.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll work it out coming up. And then a feel-good story coming up next. Do this every hour throughout the morning, Kelly Kay.
So the Cleveland Clinic did something pretty special for a 10-year-old named Ava last month. She was born in 2014 with several heart defects, had her first open heart surgery when she was 6 days old. Mm. Later, a sinus infection escalated, kind of pushing her on into heart failure, and she was put on the transplant list. She's been there now over 200 days waiting for a new heart. Couldn't go to her school's father-daughter dance. And again, she's 10 now, so the hospital recreated it. And here's Ava's parents talking about how amazing it was.
Everybody was waiting for me to cry. And it took me until they were actually doing the slow dance. And there's a girl that's special to us here that does Ava's music therapy. She sang a Taylor Swift song live a cappella with her guitar. And I mean, she's like stunning. That made me cry. I mean, just watching the two of them dancing.
You know, people can always find light in the darkness.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was an unforgettable experience. He was so happy to be a girl dad. And it just means being inspired to always be better, is what he said.
Okay.
So you can see that really sweet story. I mean, they did decorations and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really pretty awesome. You can find the story and the video at WDJX.com.
Okay, there are two things I want to bring up here. It's a little maybe normal or nope segment. Every now and then we just kind of toss things out and would love to hear your feedback on whether you think it's something normal that most people do or nah, that's unique.
At its root, it is a little judgy.
All right.
We'll be honest.
Again, two things I want to bring up. First, okay, how do you eat peanuts?
Well, typically out of a jar.
Okay, so what if they are shell, they're still in the shell? How do you eat them?
I'm cracking open the shell and I'm eating the peanut outside of the shell and I am discarding the shell.
So this has come up in my family over the years, and, you know, like we'll be at a Bats game and we'll get those Texas Roadhouse peanuts, you know?
Sure.
And
are you eating shell and all?
My wife will pop them in shell and all. And likes the salt and the starch and all that stuff of it.
And the, aren't they kind of hairy?
Not all of them, but just maybe like a few of them. She'll just knock them all back.
And we're eating the shell, too. We're not just cracking the shell in our mouth
correct.
And just eating.
Correct. Okay, like kind of like an elephant would do.
All right, you just equated your wife to an elephant.
Well, okay. All right, I didn't mean it that way. Don't put words in my mouth that I didn't say.
Okay. I feel like that's a little savage.
Is that normal? Is it nope? Do a lot of people eat
peanuts? I've never seen anyone do that. We're cracking open the shell. We're eating the peanut inside. Because if you go to Texas Roadhouse, the shells are on the floor.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people probably do shell their peanuts, and I've tried it myself too, and I can say it's a little more work.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily taste bad. It's a little more work to get to just because, you know, you're chewing.
Yeah. And okay, does the shell taste like the peanut inside?
I mean it all kind of tastes like, it's a duller flavor, I would say.
That's the texture I couldn't handle.
I will say we're getting several texts. Rachel says, I'll suck the soul off first, then crack open the shell and eat the peanut, but I'm not eating the shell. Tish says, I do it like Ben's wife.
Wow.
Shell and all.
Okay. And then Elizabeth says, that's bonkers.
Yeah,
who eats the shell?
Listen, unique people do, apparently.
Okay. So, all right, well, it's not wasteful, I'll give you that.
So we're not getting a definitive answer on this, I understand. It is a little...
There's been a couple, I'm going to say by and large, from what I've witnessed out in the wild of Texas Roadhouse. Most people are cracking open the shell, eating the peanut, tossing the shell.
All right. So second thing, I don't want to say this and make me sound crazy.
Okay. Tread lightly, sir. It's a fine line between normal and crazy, right?
Do you have a separate brush for your hair and a separate brush for your dog?
Why are you asking this, sir? Yes. You should have a separate brush for your dog, right? Everybody with me? That why is he... Elizabeth, all caps, what is happening this morning?
I wanted to bring up two things, and I thought this was a safe space.
Is this not a safe space?
Can we not discuss things in a safe environment?
Segment. It's not. There's judgment immediately when things like that come out of your mouth. And Rachel's like, oh, what?
So,
yeah, you've just thrown everybody for a loop. I guarantee if somebody was driving, they are swerving a little. No, sir.
Why?
No.
Why, though?
What do you think is living on your dog, potentially?
Hypothetically. A brush is a brush, right?
No. Rachel says, all caps, separate brushes, Ben!
Why, though?
Dogs are outside a lot. They're running. They're rolling around
in
grass.
I'm outside a lot.
Are you rolling around in grass on your head?
Listen, you are beginning to sound like my daughter Zoe.
Because she has sense.
Obviously.
She's like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Most of us are.
Like with a little pink brush.
I have a headache.
But I got to be honest, he loves it. He's just a boy. He loves it.
I'm sure he loves to be brushed with his own brush. They make dog brushes.
Are we just saying that not everyone brushes their dog with the same brush that they brush their own hair with?
That you, Ben Davis, are the only one doing that.
Okay. All right.
That is all the nose.
Again, I was hoping this was a safe environment. Obviously, I was wrong.
Now, listen, Jen is with you. She said dog brushes are faster. So you and Jen can sit over in the corner, brush your locks with your dog brush, and go brush your dog.
No.
And then brush your hair.
No. I'm not going to. No, listen, Kelly, I'm not insane. I'm not going to brush my head with a dog brush.
Oh, but you're not?
No, but I'll brush his hair with a human brush.
Okay, same thing. Same thing, honey. If you're using the same brush, regardless if it's yours or his,
Kelly, it's different.
It's different. It's not different.
It is 100% different.
Jamie's like, what?
Okay, listen.
In the world,
you know what? I don't like this segment anymore. We can be done. This is done. This is stupid. Forget I ever said anything. Forget I said anything.
Listen, we normally try to give you the benefit of the doubt, Benji, when you let one of your many, many freak flags fly. But today we cannot let this one fly. We can't. We have to shut it down. We have to make sure you do not do this again. We don't do this again.
I'm on an island by myself.
You are a little. And now I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
What, a
separate
brush?
Separate brushes for you and for your dog.
That Dougal can enjoy,
I'll
too.
I'll label it, too. I'll label
it
so you don't get confused.
All right. Anyways, we can be done with this. Thank you. thank you for just proving once again my freak flags fly bold and bright.
Rachel's like, do you use the same toothbrush as your dog? Stop looking like you're thinking about it. Stop it. Dude, stop.
I have, but only after I've graduated my own toothbrush.
Oh, I can't. We're done.
You guys stink. I thought I was in a safe space, but obviously not.
Here's what's coming up with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
By the way, Drew said, if I heard someone ate peanut shells and brushed their dog with their own hairbrush, I would think I'm watching the beginning of a serial killer documentary. Sarah said, I just saw someone slam on their brakes the same time y'all announced that someone's sharing their brush with their dog. I can only imagine they're listening to DJX.
Probably why.
I still think this is a safe space. You cannot take my therapy couch away from me.
Keep testing it out, Sparky. Keep testing it out. We'll let you know.
Thanks. Hey, it seems like stealing anything from a church is a bad move.
Probably not the best idea.
Somehow this is even more like oblivious in our setting the bar story. Ironic, okay. Even.
All righty.
Up on 99.7 DJX. It's time for a setting the bar story, which is what?
An example of what not to do or a situation we hope doesn't happen to you.
Sure. So it seems like stealing anything from a church, kind of a bad news, right?
Really bad. I mean, talk about bad karma.
Yeah, the karma, I feel like, is pretty thick with that. So if you can manage to make it through the day without ironically stealing a painting that says, thou shall not steal from a church, then you're doing okay.
Where's Alanis?
Right? this happened in the UK. Police looking for some, the culprits who took three religious paintings, including one with the Ten Commandments that says, yes, thou shalt not steal. It also included one with like the Lord's Prayer, and they're all in like big, heavy wooden frames. So it's not just like they got misplaced. And they're thinking, look, we don't even know how much the pieces are worth. They hold a lot of sentimental value to the church and its members. And no one really knows. It wouldn't be unknowingly moved because they're so big and bulky and heavy. And right. So they're even thinking, it's an inside job.
Oh, no.
It's an inside job. So keep an eye out for the paintings on Facebook Marketplace and at local garage sales.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that's especially awful. if they do pop up on one of those places, like they're gonna find out.
Yeah.
They're gonna know. Like, what are you gonna be able to do with those things now?
Right.
Do pawn shops take them?
Yeah, great question. I mean, look, pawn shops, I feel like, do you think they turn anything away?
No, probably not.
I mean, pawn shops are
like,
not.
This looks like nice painting. Like,
you know what? Legit to me.
Yep. We'll looks pretty
you,
nice. Someone's
we'll
going to love
10
this.
$10 for it. Yeah, exactly. So, again, a little setting the bar story. Not really sure if you want karma to look negatively upon you, but probably should try to make it through the day without ironically stealing a painting from a church that says, thou shalt not steal.
Do you think that maybe now with the spotlight on this story, they're going to have a little come to Jesus moment.
Come to Jesus moment.
And bring them back.
Maybe.
Do you think?
Maybe.
Just to cleanse the soul.
Yeah, maybe. Well, let's hope. That's your side of the bar story. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly K.
So a group of Burger King employees in Minnesota paid tribute to a longtime customer by having his name engraved on his favorite chair.
Oh, wow.
Jerry recently passed away at the age of 91, and they showed up to his funeral with it. So here's Jerry's children and favorite Burger King employees talking about Jerry and his chair.
Someone came into the kitchen at church and said, the whole crew of Burger King is here, and they brought a chair. It was filled with joy and just wanted to start bawling at the same time.
It was just... Yeah. Something else.
I've never had anybody want to memorialize a chair in the dining room for somebody.
A place of honor, a seat of honor.
That was his seat. He always sat there every morning, so we had to bring his chair.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is cool, yeah.
I certainly appreciate this because years ago for my parents' anniversary, I reached out to, they always went to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
They live in Goshen, Indiana, northern part of the state. And I mean, I knew the manager's name and they always talked about like all the servers. They knew them all personally. And so I reached out and I said, hey, what do you guys think about putting a nameplate on a booth in their honor? And they did it. And it looks amazing.
Wow.
And we got the picture of them sitting in their booth and pointing to, it's like a gold plate that they put on one of the booths there. And so that kind of stuff
That's
is
cool.
Just amazing customer service and so cool of them to show up and do that. Obviously, it meant a lot to his family.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the story. We'll tweet it out on X at Ben and Kelly Show.
Hey, let's get to some group therapy.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So Megan in quote says, hey, Ben and Kelly, need some advice because I might have just gotten a reality check I wasn't expecting.
Oh.
I've been seeing this guy for a little while now, about 3 months. Honestly, things have been great. We go out. We do fun things together. We've been, gasps, intimate. Oh. And I was really starting to feel like we were heading in the right direction.
Okay.
But he casually mentioned he had a date on Friday.
Oh.
So now I'm sitting here wondering, wait, what? I totally thought we were exclusive. I never said that out loud,
right,
but with the way things were going, I kind of assumed we were on the same page. Clearly, I was wrong, and yeah, that stings a little.
Right.
So my question is, when do you actually have the exclusive conversation?
Mm.
Is that something you just know at some point, or should I have brought it up sooner? And now that I know he's still dating other people, do I even bring it up at all or just take that as my answer?
Oh, wow. That's tough. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to actually talk to him about that.
I feel like if you are getting intimate, that should be in an exclusive kind of a situation. And maybe that's where she brings it up. Just like, hey, I kind of thought.
You mean in the moment? That's going to kill the mood.
No,
that's going to kill the mood, Kelly.
No.
That's going to kill the mood.
Now that he's going on a date, what she's telling us, I think that she just brings that up to him. Just like, hey, I was kind of sucker punched when I heard you were going on a date with someone else. I kind of thought we were.
How long did she say she was?
3 months.
Okay.
But I think the biggest thing for me is the level that their relationship has gone to.
So
I think for me, that would be like, okay, well, that should just be us.
We're exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we not entirely positive that there's they're not living in a gray area right now where...
Well, clearly he thinks they are.
Well, where he maybe has someone already when they met. You know what I mean?
Oh, that she's a side chick? She didn't know it? Well, that's another reason to have the conversation. Just be like, hey, sure. I was a little surprised when you said you had a date and it was not with me.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. And then just see what he says, how he reacts.
Brooke says on Facebook, girl, he literally just told you he has a date.
Yeah.
Which means he's still looking.
Yeah.
You're just an easy option for him. He's not serious about you. That was his way of getting you to end things so he doesn't have to. And you're the crazy bad guy for getting mad when he never said you were exclusive. So how dare you get mad? Please have the self-respect to walk away. Okay, that's an interesting take where it's like, okay, he's basically quiet quitting you.
Yes. Yeah, in a really passive aggressive way. Oh, I'm just, you know, I got a date. Sorry, I'm not available. What? You know, yeah, that's.
So, and that, like, ghosting is a huge part of dating culture right now. And
sure, so at least he didn't just disappear. He told you, I'm going out with someone else now. Goodbye.
But is that, would that have almost been better to just ghost?
No.
In this instance?
No, it's never good to ghost because then she'd sit there and waste more time wondering what's going on. And maybe still pining for him. At least now she kind of knows where she stands. And I agree that that is his statement to you that I'm still looking for something better.
All right.
And if that's what you want to hold yourself to, if you're trying to stay in the game and convince him that you're the one that he's always been looking for, then that's up to you. But it sounds like an uphill battle.
I was going to say, are there those stories? Did you do that? 502-795-1997 would like to hear some of those stories, or maybe your experience with this would be good too.
I think you need to find yourself a date for Friday. That's not him.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Play that game.
And then find out where they're going.
Exactly. and then tell us because we want to go too.
Yeah. 502-795-1997 is our number. We'll take your stories coming up. So our listener, Megan, she found out that her boyfriend of 3 months has a date this Friday with someone else. And she was
it
like,
was surprising.
Yeah. She was like, I kind of thought we were exclusive. So do I bring it up to him? Like, where do I go from this?
And she has a lot of reasons for feeling like they were exclusive. Like they've gone gasps. They have been intimate.
Yes.
So.
Yes, they have. Yeah, for sure.
I think for a lot of women, when you get to that level, you feel like that's it. It's you're locked in, right?
So, Trina, do you have experience with this?
Oh, my God. Well, when I was 20, I was dating this guy, and I thought he was much younger than he was. I found out he was 33 and had a whole girlfriend and a baby that I didn't know about. So that was cool.
How'd you find out? Did he tell you eventually, or did you find out, like, a roundabout way?
No, somebody else told me.
So your advice to Megan?
After 3 months, I think 3 months is a perfect time that you should be having that conversation anyway. If you're just dating multiple people at a time, that's fine. Dating is one thing, but if you're hunching her, you're probably hunching.
Right.
It's the hunching for me, too.
My 4 and 7-year-old are in the car.
No, I get it. Well, tell him I said hi, okay?
Hi.
All right, Trina. Hey, thank you so much for talking to us.
No problem.
Heather says if intimacy is involved and he's not exclusive, you should definitely have that talk. And says, happened to me, lost 8 months on a guy and four Ooh. Months into being, quote, exclusive.
Oh,
He told me he was going on a date the day after we were together. Never again. Won't make that mistake again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Tough lesson to learn. And, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to downplay feelings because Megan has real feelings.
Sure.
And it's easy for us just to go, you know what? Done. Done.
But he doesn't seem to have the same feelings. That's the biggest issue here. Monica on Facebook says, tell him you have a date. See his reaction. Maybe he was saying that to see your reaction. He might have been scared to ask you if you wanted to be his girlfriend. People are traumatized these days. They do things to get the answers instead of being direct.
Mm.
That's one way of looking at it. Catherine says, welp,
Him telling you he has a date after 3 months of dating you with relations, never having brought it up before, that's a new person he met.
Oh.
He isn't that into you. At some point, he may have considered you exclusive, but just flipped the script in one comment.
Interesting. Okay.
She says you can share with him that, you know, you're surprised he has a date after 3 months of dating, but that it was his comment to get out and leave it to you to break it off. So you need to tell him what's up. You don't need to continue. He's testing the waters and keeping you as a plan B.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Elizabeth says, as adults, the conversation shouldn't be hard, but I know it can be.
Yeah.
I would have the conversation before the gasps happen, because I feel like for women, a much deeper connection happens once that occurs.
Hey, look, sometimes when you're watching, you know, like Romancing the Stone or Lady and the Tramp, and, you know, you start feeling some sort of way, the gasps will happen.
Romancing the Stone and Lady and the Tramp? Can you get two older references?
Or, okay, fine. How it worked for me, Silence of the Lambs. So
maybe what kind of psycho are you?
Maybe you haven't had the talk yet, but you're at your mom's house. It's late at night. You're in the living room and you're watching Silence of the Lambs, and one thing leads to another. And you know, you can't help those feelings.
Wow.
I'm just saying, you can't always have the talk before necessarily gasps happen.
Oh, you can't? Okay. Kelly on text said, I'm not sure how old Megan is, but I would assume she's fairly young. I would tell her to address this immediately or walk away. My 20-year-old daughter just went through this with someone that she wasted almost 2 years on.
Oh, gosh.
Because he denied dating anyone else. Come to find out, he was saying that to two people. Don't waste your time. Life is short.
Okay.
And then Trina's like, but how good are the gasps? I says, Trina, no! We hold ourselves to better standards. we need to be the only one with the gasps.
We don't need to start pulling back old conversations that I've had with you, okay? Jen, Silence of the Lambs explains sharing a hairbrush with a dog. Elizabeth, Ben is the kind of psycho that would share a brush with his dog.
Yeah, okay. That does start to connect some dots. Right. It does a little.
Hey, you know what? You're not married to me. Don't worry about it.
That is correct.
It's fine. Yes. All right. So, hey, I don't know if we help Megan, but yeah, there's definite conversation that needs to be had here in the future and quickly. Okay.
Yeah. Approach him like you approached us. Just say, hey, I was surprised. I was a little shocked by your date.
And then get yourself a date for Friday.
Exactly.
All right. Keep us posted. Let us know what happens. That's group therapy. How ugly is your job making you? It's 9970 JX. Some people are worried about like their job being stressful, dangerous. Maybe you sit there and think about it and you're like, it's soul sucking. It could also make you ugly by aging your skin.
That's not premature aging. I don't like it.
So there's a skincare clinic that created this test online. It calculates what your job does to age you and to really aid and to beat you down, right? So it breaks it down by minor, moderate, severe, and extreme. Okay.
Okay.
So Kelly, it's 10 questions I'm going to ask you. And we're going to see how, and now look, we don't lay bricks outside or pave highways. So I would be actually surprised if this job that we do hits high on the scale.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to wait to judge that until I hear the criteria of this test.
All right. How many hours do you spend sitting down at your job? Less than one? Or up to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10+.
Yeah, 10+.
10+. Do your shifts vary or do you work regular hours?
Regular.
Yeah. Do you predominantly work a day or night shift? Day shift, early morning or late evening, or night shift?
Kind of all day.
Early morning or late evening?
Yes.
Do you work indoors or outdoors?
Indoors.
How many hours do you work a week on average?
Lately, it's been
a lot more.
No, because preparing for the radiothon and all that stuff. Sure, I get it.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times I'll leave, go pick up kids, take them to their places, and I'll come back to it and work late into the evening.
Okay, the hours that you're picking up the kids don't count towards work, so
right.
It's just figure, throw a number at me.
Okay, I'd probably say 50.
20?
20? I wish.
How would you describe your stress level at work? Low, average, high?
It's been pretty high lately, yeah.
Do you have to be available outside of hours at your job?
Yes.
Never, occasionally, or most of the time?
I'll say occasionally.
Do you ever?
I feel like I'm heading down a bad road.
Do you ever work with harsh chemicals?
No.
Never, sometimes, or regularly?
Never. Right.
Do you perform heavy lifting or repetitive physical tasks at work? Never, sometimes, yes, regularly?
No, not the heavy lifting, but I guess can you count like using a mouse and typing repetitive?
No.
Okay,
no.
Then no.
No.
Okay.
How many hours do you spend looking at a computer screen in your job?
That's the problem.
Less than one, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus.
10 plus, yeah.
All right, 10 plus. Getting the results. So, you are in the moderate category.
Oh, that's not good, right?
This job only makes you moderately ugly.
Oh, great.
Well, so keep in mind, that's only one notch above minor.
Okay,
so minor,
great.
Moderate, and then you're not in the severe lane, you're not in the extreme lane. That's the same score I got, and I'm thinking it's because we have kind of cush jobs, when you think about it. It's just, we talk on the radio, we do some typey-typey stuff afterwards, and that's about it,
I was afraid the staring at the computer screen as long as I do is probably not great for the skin, especially my eyes. I can tell a difference in my eyes. Like, it takes a while
too,
for them
yeah.
to readjust. Like if I'd been staring at a computer screen for hours and hours and hours and like walking away from it, it takes quite a while for my eyes to kind of go back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just saying, you're in the moderate category. The perfect work break balance is 52 consecutive minutes of work, 17 minutes of break. That's what this is suggesting.
Oh, goodness.
Type of job you have can have considerable impact on your health and well-being. So again, like our job right now, our job, it's not very physically demanding.
No, so, not in the moment, no. Nope.
When has it been in the moment? Well, I guess tomorrow and Friday it's going to be
long the next couple
hours.
Of days going to be pretty physically taxing. However, it's the whole just I don't take enough breaks. I need to go and stretch more because I just feel like I am getting so stiff.
Yeah,
and, being in a couple of car accidents doesn't help either.
Yeah, because you're a menace on the highway.
Right.
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 So Jacqueline says, hey, I'm right there with you, Kelly. Only answered one question differently than you. Yeah, see? And look, it's
sister from another mister.
It is. I would imagine that if your job takes you outside or you have to perform with chemicals or you do more heavy lifting, I would say that probably impacts how ugly your job makes you or how it ages you so much. So anyways, some interesting stuff there. We'll post the little calculator for you if you want to see. At Ben and Kelly Show on X, so you can take it yourself.
And you can find out how ugly you're becoming?
Yeah, that's great. Exactly. How ugly your
Look
job
at all
is.
The helping.
How ugly your job is making you. So this is a way for you to then adjust.
Yeah.
And maybe adjust some things to help yourself, right? Look
Get
at this.
Get the blue light blocking glasses. Yes.
This is,
I have those. Yes.
This is Health Corner here on 99.7 DJX. Yeah. Still to come this hour, feel good stories, some socially awkward situations, all on the way. All right, some socially awkward scenarios that maybe we've all been a part of sometime in our life. Maybe you can dish out a little bit of advice. We got three of them that we want to highlight here in the next several minutes. But first one from Emily. And she's all like, hey, so we were at Kroger, lady in front of us, at the express item, 10 items or less checkout, had at least 13 things.
Oh, boy. I feel judgment is happening.
Cashier wasn't saying anything, so I said, next time, you should use the regular line.
Oh, no.
The woman gave me a mean look.
Yeah.
My husband said, I should have just let it go.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean...
Kelly, without law and order, everything's going to go run amok.
Well, I feel like the cashier is supposed to be the one to point that out, right? I mean, if they're that sticklers, I've seen, like, they don't really enforce that a lot. Unless, like, you're at the self-checkout or something, do they automatically shut it down and say you're done if you try to scan more than 10 items?
Well, the self-checkout, I feel like, is... Yeah. What do they have the small item self-checkout lanes?
I think they do, yeah.
They do?
Yeah. I typically wouldn't say anything. I'd probably silently sit there and judge. But the fact that she had like 13 things instead of the 10,
like if she would have had petty. If she would have had like 25, 30
exactly.
items and she's
then
trying
I'm
to
salty.
Shove it through, you know, it's one
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, then I'm salty. But we're like 3 items over the limit. I'm not saying much.
Yeah, I probably am not too, a lot of people checking in going, husband is big right. What a Karen she was.
Yeah, and he's like, if she had a cart full, I'd understand. But just a couple over, that's a little silly.
Yeah, yeah. Haley says, look, I agree, it's frustrating, but probably just let it go.
Yeah, because these days, people can react badly.
Yeah.
To just little comments like that. So you just don't want to risk it.
Lori rolls in and says, nobody's time is more valuable than the next person's. We all just need to slow down, be a little more patient.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm kind of like some listeners that are going, the fact that she counted the items.
Yes. Yes. You sat there right. and counted. Wow.
All right. So, Emily, that's what we're saying. I think maybe your husband was probably right. Maybe we don't know the circumstances of that
exactly.
trip to Kroger. Maybe it was a frustrating thing. Maybe you were trying to run in and run out because, you know, you were already late for something else. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know, but take a deep breath. Scanning those 3 extra items is only going to take a few seconds.
All right. Okay, on to Hannah.
Yeah, we'll get to Hannah here next. This is kind of like a vending machine. Coming through, you're dispensing a couple quarters, and we're dispensing advice pretty quickly. All right? It's 99.7 DJX. Some more DMs. This one from Hannah. Kelly, you want to handle this one?
She says, my fiance and I are invited to his ex's wedding this summer.
Okay.
I've never met this bee.
Okay.
I'm afraid I might start something if I go. The stories he told me about her make me mad. What a head case. My fiance really wants me there. Should I go?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that,
here's my question. Why does your fiance want to go?
I was going to say, why does the fiance want to go?
I don't understand that.
Did he say to show you off? Because that would be the only reason I would want to go. Unless also, okay, so I do see some situations where he would feel obligated to go. One is if his ex's family is close to your fiance's family. And they've remained in touch and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So,
I feel like, though, they would understand if he didn't want to be there to watch his ex get married.
Yeah, but having a mom that will say, oh, but listen, she really wants her people that she knows and loves and was an important part of her life to be there.
Oh, great. I would say then you can go, Mom and Dad. I don't feel like I need to go and watch my ex get married. Plus, I'm in a new relationship. I'm happy. I don't need to, like, you know,
you
ripple any waters.
That's why you were asked.
Oh, my Lord.
Man, Hannah, are those questions you got to ask him? Like
yeah,
your fiance?
I feel like we ask him, like, why are we going to that? Why do you want to be there?
Okay, so say he still wants to go. Maybe Hannah understands, all right, this is, I understand I'm not going to get out of him going. I mean, is that a red flag that he wants to go to her wedding? No, that shouldn't be a red flag.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
I mean, because he shouldn't need closure because he's engaged to Hannah. This is not like a rebound. I just started dating her a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Like they're getting married. So yeah. I feel like that go separate ways. I don't feel like unless you've been besties since if the fiance and the ex have been besties since kindergarten, childhood, maybe if that was.
Okay, so you're kind of talking to Hannah's fiance right now. So for Hannah, what I would say is, look, just explain to him how awkward it would be.
Yeah.
Based on all the stories, you can explain how awkward it is even that she invited you and that you want to go.
Yeah.
But then say, I know you want me there. And if you really want me there, I will be there to support you.
I'll put on my happy face, but I'm not going to like it.
Just know. Yeah, exactly. But just know that it's going to be extremely awkward for me. And that could make things awkward. So,
I would just question him again. Like, the question is motivation. Yeah. Why do you feel like you need to go to this? Because according to the stories you've told me about her, not a nice person. You're better off. We're engaged. Why do we need to be kind of going back down that road again? Yeah. That's what it feels like for me.
Yeah. And as a guy, I would think the only reason he would want to go is to kind of prove, because maybe there were some unchecked boxes when they broke up. But like maybe he just wants to prove that, hey, look, I'm doing great too. I'm getting married. Look at Hannah. Isn't she sweet? Hannah, show him your smile.
I'm really glad you invited us. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Where's the free drinks? Free food, free drinks. Let's do it.
There you go. You could use it as an excuse to get a free meal, lots of drinks on your fiance's ex.
Yeah, well, I don't know if too many drinks is going to be that good.
That's probably not advised. You're right. Probably not advised.
That probably, yeah. Anyways.
She'll be too honest.
All right. So, Hannah, I don't know if we helped. Maybe we did. Think so.
There's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about. All right. So we'll move on to Megan's situation. Get to that next. Socially awkward situations here on 99.7 DJX. We're out now up to Megan.
Megan says, my boyfriend's made it really clear he's going to propose probably in the next 6 months.
Wow.
He's also mentioned his late grandmother's ring.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I'll say yes no matter what. But that ring is god-awful.
Oh.
Do I say something now or wait until he actually proposes?
Oh, no.
Oh,
that is not grandma's ring.
Not grandma's ring.
Not grandma's ring. Now, do you start dropping hints now that you don't like it? Or I mean, but like in a tactful way. And what I mean by that is you're saying, you know, wow, you know, it's so great that, you know, that ring is in the family. I would want whoever gets it to be able to maybe make it their own.
Yes. Like, is the diamond in it, like, good? Then you could get it remounted and still have the sentimental value to it, but getting your own style?
Yeah. No clue if the diamond is a weird cut that you don't like. I mean, but, like, does that matter? Does the cut of a diamond really matter?
I mean, it can. I thought that I wanted a princess cut.
Yeah.
When we got engaged, and it turns out that was not super practical. Like, I almost lost a diamond several times. It got caught on things. It was scratching the babies when they were born. So I went with I switched that out and got a round stone.
That's
smoother, doesn't snag.
So do you think it's like the style of the ring that she doesn't like, or you think it's the diamond?
I guess
we're just speculating.
God awful. Exactly. God awful can mean lots of things.
I mean, but are you describing a ring as god awful? Like, I don't know. Wow.
Apparently. There is nothing about it she likes, it sounds like. So, maybe in that case, you get some, like, bridal magazines and open it up to a page of a really beautiful ring that you love and leave it laying around as, like, a little passive-aggressive hint.
Well, or maybe not even passive-aggressive. Maybe you're just like, hey, you know, if you're walking in a mall or in a store and you pass by a jeweler and you're like, oh, I really like that ring. That really, you know, that style of ring is me, you know?
Yes.
You kind of find examples of rings that you like. and and start showing them those, less so much like, hey, your grandma's ring sucks, and more and more of, you know what, this is more my style, like this is more me.
Well, and there was a diamond in the family that my husband ended up having mounted in a pendant, made a necklace out of it.
All right.
So that I could still, I wore that on our wedding day.
Well, and
the necklace. And then, you know, we had, he went and got me a new, you know, ring.
I've seen
to propose with
plenty of people wear, like, wear wedding rings that are sentimental as a necklace. Like, they literally put it on a chain.
Sure. And or you just have the stone remounted in a pendant. Yeah. You can make something new out of it while still having the sentimental value.
I want to see this ring. I'm sure. If we saw the ring, we would be like, oh, that's not god awful.
Exactly. And everyone's got their own taste. Yeah, so what we think about it doesn't matter. She thinks it's god awful.
Right. Okay.
So, and it's something that, you know, hopefully you're going to wear for the rest of your life and you want to make sure that you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we bring the idea to, hey, I really, you keep talking about your grandmother's ring. I really, you know, love, how about have you thought about, you know, remounting the stone into a necklace?
Yeah, we did get a message from Brittany. Said, before my husband picked out my engagement ring, I sent him a list of the cuts and ranked them as my favorite.
Oh, nice.
So I've also had friends take the diamonds from a sentimental ring and put them in a new ring or setting or band or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. But I like the idea of, like, again, kind of what I was saying, just show them the things you like and just keep barraging him with the stuff you like.
Right.
And then if he is smart, he'll pick up on the fact that,
I don't want your grandmother's ring. Don't give me your grandmother's ring.
This ring doesn't fit any of the characteristics that she has described.
So. Yeah, and maybe you could say, you know what? You know what would be fun this weekend, babe? You know what would be fun? Like, I've just never really considered what I think my style is. Let's go try on some rings and see what my style is.
Yeah. You know what would be fun is we take your grandma's ring and we throw it away. You know what? That would be so fun.
That
would be so fun.
You don't say that.
All right, Megan, I think we've given you a lot of ammo, all right? A lot of ways to approach it to maybe keep your potential fiance, you know, happy. And keep that ring in the family and all that
stuff. Yeah, I think it's sweet. He wants the sentimental value of grandma's ring, but let's maybe figure out a way to repurpose grandma's ring to still keep the memory there and still have something that fits you better.
All right, there you go. Bing, bop, boom, bop, bam, bop, bam. Got them
vending
all
done. Vending machine advice done.
There we are. Yes, the vending machine advice done. There you go. Hopefully that all works out for you. Thank you. So when that meet cute involves you running into someone maybe at a Starbucks or a bookstore, but you don't get a name or number and you run away too quickly, what do you do?
How else do you spend forever with that person? That could be your person. You do a little typey-typey, you send it off to the internet. We find it, shine a big old spotlight on it.
When you strike out in real life, you can always try
Craigslist Missed Connections.
Ladies first.
Yes.
You saw my spicy book.
Okay.
Woman for Man. You were tall and nerdy in the best way.
Okay.
With glasses that made you look like you were reading intelligent books. Not the kind I was reaching for.
Oh, all right.
I was embarrassed, blushing, and about 3 seconds from spontaneous combustion.
Oh, no.
It all started when I tried to grab a book from the top shelf. You appeared like some kind of literary angel, effortlessly plucking it down for me.
Okay.
But then you saw what I was reaching for, and let's just say it wasn't War and Peace.
Oh, all right.
It was the kind of book with a cover featuring two half-naked people in a compromising position.
That's my kind of books.
Panic set in. I blurted, "It's for a friend."
Okay.
Even though we both know it absolutely was not.
Mm-hmm.
You smirked, eyes twinkling. Winked. I swear, almost melted right there in the romance aisle. How are you so nerdy, yet so skilled in the ways of women, sir?
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I was so flustered that when I got to the checkout, I tried to pay with my Costco membership card.
Oh, no.
The cashier stared. I mumbled something about bulk discounts and fled the scene before I could die of secondhand embarrassment.
Okay.
But now, hours later, I regret running away. I should have stayed.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked your name.
Yes.
I should have told you that nerdy hot guys are exactly my type.
My type.
If you see this, let's have a redo. I promise not to lie about my book choices this time, and maybe you can even recommend a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably something a little less spicy.
Mm.
At least until I get to know you, Weaky Face.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Mm. Maybe a little Colleen Hoover to start off with we graduate.
I don't know what a Colleen Hoover is. It's
Craigslist Missed Connections.
It ends with us reference.
Your camera roll changed my life.
Oh.
You were stunning, radiant, and completely unaware that you nearly sent me into cardiac arrest.
Oh my.
I was just a guy who wanted a caffeine fix, but instead got an entire education into your personal photography. I was waiting for my Starbucks order when you and your less attractive but still lovely friend were about to take a selfie.
Wait a second.
Why did he have to say
lovely condescending pat on the head. Right. What is that?
So maybe if they're both reading this, one of them knows. Oh, yeah, that's my friend.
Just to be clear, it's not you, less attractive friend.
Okay. I was waiting for my Starbucks order when you and your less attractive but still lovely friend were about to take a selfie.
Got it.
Like a gentleman, I offered to take the picture. You smiled, handed me your phone, and that's when my life changed.
What happened?
Instead of the camera app being open, your phone was wide open on the Vault of Secrets.
Oh.
AKA, I mean pictures. And by pictures, I mean the very naughty pictures.
We have naughty pictures that pop up first in your gallery?
I tried to be cool. I really did. But my face turned 50 shades of red as I fumbled like an idiot, desperately trying to close the evidence of your confidence. I finally got to the camera, snapped your cute picture, and handed the phone back with what I hoped was a normal, non-terrified expression.
She probably didn't notice.
Then they called my name for my coffee, and I ran out of there like I'd stolen something. But guess what? I can't stop thinking about you.
Well, yeah, he's seen a lot of her at this point.
The things I've seen.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Why do you take those kind of pictures?
Do we think they're probably meant for someone?
Are you?
Like, she's not single?
As bold in conversation as you are in front of a camera? If you see this, let's try this again, shall we?
We all have questions.
I will buy you a coffee this time. And maybe I just don't need to borrow your phone just yet.
Okay. Well, I was thinking he was just going to say, how about I be the photographer for your next photo sesh?
Well, that would work too.
That.
Yeah. I mean, he's got it. Listen. He's got to figure out if it's the less attractive friend who's reaching out to him or the attractive friend.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe we ask, tell me the last couple photos in your gallery I know it's you.
So whether you're looking for the nerdy guy who's just trying to help you get your smut, or you're searching for that very confident person at
Starbucks,
right?
Confident.
It can be one thing, and that is
Craigslist Missed Connections.
Sweet. Cute.
It is cute on 99.7 DJX. It's Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. Time for a setting the bar story, which is what, Kelly?
An example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
There's an axiom called too many cooks in the kitchen. You've heard that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many people like trying to make a decision or chime in on a situation.
Right. It's nice to have help sometimes, but sometimes too much can be chaos. And that's where we are with this setting the bar story. If you can manage to make it through the day without letting over 800,000 people work on and edit your homework, you're doing okay.
That feels excessive.
You're thinking, okay, well, why would that happen? So it all happened on a Google Doc. Okay. Now, you and I know what Google Docs are.
We use Google.
We have one that we share every single day for the show where you can update, I can update, we can kind of keep it. It's in real time and all that stuff. And so you're thinking, oh my gosh, did someone's Google Doc, because it's just a website. That's all it is like you can get to a Google Doc. Did someone accidentally share their like URL for a Google Doc and then other people messed with it? No. It was a YouTuber who has over 800,000 followers. He decided to let his followers work on his homework.
Oh boy.
And so he said, hey, I have homework due tomorrow. Will you look at it and help me? It's, you know, due tomorrow. Help. And then he hit share.
Oh boy.
And all the, this is just kind of the video.
Okay.
And you see, and well, you're just,
we got a lot of helpers wanting to chime in. And, I got you, fam.
Yeah, that's right. The first few people were actually helpful, and then it just turned into chaos.
Oh, he's got more than 800,000. He's got 10.4 million subscribers.
So, I'm sorry, over 800,000 people started helping him on his project. Yes.
Yes.
So they started editing, deleting, adding photos, making jokes. They deleted his entire thing that he had on there.
Oh, no.
So he wound up like screen grabbing it and posting it on
He said
YouTube.
It was due in 10 minutes.
Yes. And literally it was absolute chaos. Some beautiful like artwork created by just
all the colors of all the contributors.
I know.
Wow.
How crazy would that be? That would give me so much anxiety all of a sudden just seeing all of that. And especially if it were like real. It's not real. So it's not a real setting the bar story in that he didn't do it by mistake. This was completely on purpose.
Was it a real assignment? Like, did he have to turn it in 10 minutes later? Because I'm seeing minion emojis. Seeing cats. I'm seeing all sorts of things that are just like, it's so fast your eyes can't really keep up with it. And then, they shut it down. Encountered an error, so you don't even get to see the finished product.
Right. So at the end, like Google was like, too much. And then it crashed. So
good to know, though, that there's really not a limit to how many people can contribute to a Google Doc.
At least 833,000 people can be.
Until they shut it down. Yeah.
Accessing, editing, writing on a doc at the same time. That would be utter chaos. We'll share the video because it is wild.
I mean, yes, and I kind of understand why he needed a little help, because the title of it was the Herman Newick Exploration of Chaos Eyes, Thick of It, and Its Multi-Layered Significance. What in the heck is that? Like, I think I'd be like, you know what? Anybody know anything about this? I'm going to share it. You guys can go to town.
I'm going
to
go ahead and, exactly.
Yep, I think I understand why I needed help.
I'm going to go ahead and Google that. But yeah, if you want to see, we'll post it on X at Ben and Kelly Show, that video. But yeah, wild, absolutely wild. And it's in a sense, it's also kind of cool. So,
it's pretty amazing. Like, what a fun little experiment.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, not sure if it was a real homework assignment, if it just completely ruined it for him, what happened, because we don't have the answer at the end.
Yeah, we don't have the answer at the end. I mean, hopefully he made a copy of this doc before he let the wolves have it.
Yes. Hopefully he thought ahead to that. Do we even know, like, how old this person is?
No.
I don't think we do, but he's in an English class.
Yep.
Ms. White's English class.
That is your setting the bar story. If you can manage to make it through the day without letting over 800,000 people work, quote, on and edit your homework at the same time, you're doing okay.
Precious, though.
Yeah, it is precious. That's your setting the bar on 99.7 JX. Chapel Roan, Pink Pony Club, new music from her coming soon. Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. We did get a text message from a listener, Sarah, who asked, basically screenshotted a Nelson County Overwatch Facebook group. Oh. And we have to, I've requested to be in this group so we can actually
can see it. Yeah.
Dive into the comments. But she's like, the comments on this post are pretty good. And I'm just going to read you
the headline.
The headline. Yeah. Dating someone to rehang a gutter that's partially down on my home.
Oh, wait a second.
That's the what? Entire title. Kathy went ahead and posted that. So don't know if Kathy is looking for someone to date to
or
rehang
she is
a gutter.
Dating someone for that sole purpose.
Yes, yes.
And then once the job is done, I'm out.
Either way, this is wild. I'm invested, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you more as soon as they accept us.
There was at least 119 comments on there, so hopefully there's a story in the comments.
Yes. So once they accept us into the Nelson County Overwatch, part of the rules are like, oh, are you in Nelson County? It's like, listen, we broadcast in Nelson County. We're fine.
So technically, yes.
Yes. So hopefully.
I've seen Nelson County. I've driven through Nelson County.
Yeah, it's lovely this time of year.
It
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. So hopefully we'll be able to provide more on that.
Like, I need context.
Yes, the rest of the story coming up on 99.7 EJX. This is the last funny thing you're going to hear from us in the next couple days. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's really all. That's selling it. Like, you should listen anyway, though.
Yeah, the Radiothon for Norton Children's Hospital is kicking off tomorrow. It's 24 hours, 2 days straight, Thursday and Friday. We're going to be sharing stories, heartfelt stories.
We turn into
stories.
Sensitive and caring, Ben and Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, this gives you the other side of us, all right?
It's 2 days of warm fuzzy, really, is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's stories of inspiration and all that. And we're going to be, we've got a lot of people to thank for helping, including, hopefully, you. And we're going to be tossing this phone number at you, 888-499-KIDS, about 1,000 times over the next 2 days.
Yeah, and a texting the word balloon to 51555. You can also do that. But listen, the whole point, the whole reason we dedicate two full days of programming, like across, but we take over slots that are not ours to stay on the air to try to check off a lot of boxes. Yeah. Every hour is going to have a new goal we are trying to reach as far as like buying equipment they need at the hospital, funding research, sponsoring the kids that are there right now, all the reasons to jump on board and help keep this giant behemoth hospital running as it should with top-notch equipment, top-notch care for whenever you or someone you know needs it.
Yeah, for sure. And love the folks over at Bill Collins Ford. They jumped on board to help us out with this. They seem to be they want to do it every year, which is fantastic.
Yeah, they're recurring characters, and we love that.
Yeah, we love that for sure. So anyways, that is coming up tomorrow and Friday on 99.7 EJX, the Radiothon for Norton Children's Hospital. So a lot of stuff to get to over the next couple of days and to be prepared for. And just know that you're not going to hear a bunch of sad stories, okay?
No,
just,
these are like miracles they're making happen every single day. These are our kids getting fixed in so many different ways and sent back into their amazing lives to thrive and go on from this situation. Sure, some of it's emotional, but it's overall triumphant.
Yeah.
So you can help be a part of it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Kelly?
I think that's it.
All right, guys. Have a great one. We will talk to you live from the lobby of Norton Children's Hospital downtown tomorrow.
Bye-bye.